lot of my listeners list you as one of the most memorable guests. And I've done 100 and, boy, I'm probably at 125 episodes or something like that with all the two-part episodes and bonus episodes and whatever. So there's easily, you know, I'm probably approaching 100 different guests, and people always mention the soup lady, and they are fascinated by what you do. And so that's always nice. And I guarantee you, I'll make a lot of my listeners happy to do another interview with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I will visit with you anytime. I love that you always make people look good and feel good about sharing their heart. And I appreciate that you understand that I can't say much for our own safety, but we always work around it. So you still don't know where I'm at. So
Nope. Welcome to Hey Chaplain. My name is Jared Altick, and I'm a chaplain with the police department. The purpose of this show is for police to hear encouragement for the tough work that they do. From the LAPD to Scotland Yard, the guests on Hey Chaplain are giving you the wisdom they've earned from their hard-earned experience. This episode is part two of my recent conversation with Ginger Passarelli from the Soup Ladies. You'll want to go back and catch part one, episode 081, where she talked about her recent work with the Border Patrol. But this portion of the conversation focuses on serving first responders more generally. I wanted you to hear Ginger's passion to serve and how it's combined with both integrity and discipline. We could have more people serving, more people helping, but they need to be doing the right things for the right reasons. Helpers of all kinds, including chaplains, need to examine their motivations and be disciplined in how they carry out their work. And I believe Ginger sets an excellent example of just that. So take note of the hows and whys in Ginger's story, because someday you may be given access to serve first responders, and if you screw that up, the door might be shut to everyone. Here's Ginger Passarelli. How long do you want to do this, and what does Soup Ladies look like 20 years from now?
I'm going to do this till I'm dead. I can't see ever stopping, you know, because when there's a calling on your life, it's a way of life. And as Christians, we are called to serve. And I can't imagine not serving. I've found what I love to do. Some people, you know, like a 20-year-old, they're not going to make a decision on, you know, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I did this for 25 years. I did this for, you know, I've done Soup Ladies for 25 years. It started off with taking a pot of soup to church. And who would have guessed it would turn into this? You know, where we're called to homicides and SWAT call-outs and going to places where there's been mass shootings and, you know, horrible stuff. And most of the time, people don't want to go anywhere near that. They want to hear about it on the news, but they don't want to actually go and feed the people and look in their faces and tell them, I love you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for protecting me.
Do you see your fellow team members, do you see them continuing this in other locations or even, like I said, down the road in the future?
Well, all of our soup ladies, like down here where we're at right now, and I got a call from my niece who works for the coroner's office in a different state, and she said, Auntie, we've got a bunch of stuff going on and we need some food. Can you deliver it to the coroner's office at this county? And so I said, just give me a few minutes. So I pulled over and I made a couple phone calls and I got a soup lady and she made soup. And then she went and delivered it to the coroner's office and fed all the people that were there. And my niece sent me a text message and said, thank you so, so much. They really appreciate it. It's been such a long day and everyone was starving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're down here doing our stuff on the border, and we've got soup ladies, and we've got another bunch of soup ladies doing food for a memorial for the officer that was killed last week. And so soup ladies are doing food Monday and Tuesday for this memorial, for the funeral, for this officer. So we've got things going on in different places. You know, if you're not training up leaders and people who can take care of all this stuff, you know, then it's a one-man show. And what do you get? Exhaustion. And
it ends as soon as the
it ends when gone, yeah right? when that one person's gone, then it doesn't continue. I would love for to see this go for, you know, next 200 years, you know, and the only way to do that is people are taught, they're trained, we know how to conduct ourselves on a scene, we know exactly what to do, and I'm proud of our soup ladies. They're well trained, and they do the same thing over and over again at every single incident, and they do it right every time. Because if they do it wrong, I hear from the chief. So.
How do people support you? How did they invest in this ministry that you're doing?
I'm glad you said the word invest, because people give to ministries, but I feel like if I'm going to give, I want to invest in something. Our soup ladies are every single dime that's given to the soup ladies goes for taking care of first responders. And sometimes that's buying socks and underwear because somebody's been on scene for 3 days and they can't even go home to change their clothes. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we want to take care of. So if anybody wants to support us, you just go to soupladies.org and it has all the information there. And it's, you know, it's because of the generosity of people in the community that love our first responders that we even exist.
What would be, if someone's like, I'm hearing Ginger talk about this ministry, I feel like I could do this, I feel like maybe I'm called to do something like this, what's your recommendation? Should they contact you and be involved with Soup Ladies, or should they try to create their own version?
You know, they should contact me. I mean, and my phone number's on our website, and I'm easy to find. But I will tell you, it's an investment, because if you want to start something like this, you have to show up every time. You have to be committed to it, and it is a calling. So if somebody is truly called, because I've been doing this 25 years now, so that's a calling. And if somebody feels that it's a calling, you're doing the ministry before you get the title. I started bringing a pot of soup to church. And then after a couple of years, this little boy, I'll never forget him, Levi was his name. And he was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was filling up my car. And he comes running up to me at this gas station. He goes, "You're the soup lady." And that was the first time I ever got called that. And he's a police officer now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you just do it. I just felt like making soup for church. I had no idea that I would be doing what I'm doing now, where we're feeding first responders. But that kind of hit me 5 years in or more when we went to Mississippi after Katrina, and there was five of us sitting around on cots talking. And we had been down on the beach in Mississippi where it was a closed access, and we were cooking for National Guard and fire departments, and because people were coming in from all over the country to, you know, work in the area and do body recoveries and, you know, get power back on and, you know, just kind of get things working again. And I said, I love this. I love that we can feed these firefighters and these National Guard people and the police officers. Because I'd ask them, who's taking care of you? Oh, we've got MREs and granola bars. And I'm going, that's disgusting. And you're saying it with a smile? And I just thought, we can do better.
Yeah.
We can do better. All of us, we can all do better.
So if somebody's already cooking, maybe they didn't realize you existed, and they're already a step or two into this, it feels like a calling.
Uh-huh.
And they call you up and they ask, uh-huh. should I join Soup Ladies? I'm in a totally different state. Do I come on in under your umbrella, or do I go out on my own? What do you think your recommendation would be?
My recommendation would be to find somebody that does what you want to do. So if that's me or our Soup Ladies, learn as much as you can from the people who know the most, mm-hmm. and then make your own thing. All of our Soup Ladies have to have incident command training through FEMA. We have to know how an incident is set up so that we know our place. We're always in logistics. So yeah. When you're working with government agencies, I always tell people, if FEMA tells you you need to learn to quack like a duck, you better go learn to quack like a duck. You right, need to right. know what they think, how they operate, and it's not all about you.
Yeah, you got to learn how to speak their language. Yeah.
Yep, yep. So you need to fit in with them. They don't need to fit in with you. They don't need you that bad.
But boy, I feel like I see, I don't know if it's an American thing, I don't know if it's a church thing, but I see a lot of helpers who have a bit of an ego where and a lack of humility, where it's like, I have arrived, and I am now providing this great service, and everything should stop so that I can have the spotlight on me, and you can see me, sir. And I don't know how to squash that. I really don't. And that could be on a local church level. It could be on like a, you know, I could be in a crime scene. And I see people do that. And man, I hope I never do that. But I certainly notice it when others do it. And I just like, man, this is not about you. But
yes.
I don't know how to I don't know how to stop people from doing that. There's something in our culture or somewhere in our psychology that I sometimes have brought helpers to a scene, you know, to
yep.
assist in something. They just can't help but try to make it about themselves.
Yep.
And
yep.
I don't know how to undo that. Do you have any recommendations? Do you have any advice for me?
Well, that kind of lasts about a minute with me. Sometimes we'll have newer people, and I've really ticked people off to the point that they never came back, which was fine because they were not a good fit. They wanted yeah. to show me how to do it a better way. And it's like, it's not about our convenience. It's about the convenience of the people we're serving. If they tell us to park over there, then we park over there. And then if they say, we don't want you there because we need to go there, so we need you to move the truck 4 feet over this way. Then you move the truck 4 feet over that way. We are there yep. to do what they ask us to do. It's not about us.
And humility will accept that, right?
Yep.
A humble heart will say, yes, I did just move the truck 5 minutes ago, and now you want me to move it again 4 feet. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely. Right away,
and,
sir.
And a humble heart will do that, but yep. I've seen a lot of helpers who just can't humble themselves because they think they know better and they think it's all about them. Yeah.
Well, and then I have people show up and, you know, there's a foot of snow and they're wearing tennis shoes. Well, I just told you we're going to be up at the pass and yeah. you knew it snowed and you're wearing tennis shoes and you're freezing your butt off and this about made me lose my mind. I was at an incident and it was an awful incident. And it was a chaplain and yeah. he was there with his jacket that said chaplain all the way across the back of it. And, you know, and I was trying to move something and I was kind of struggling. And he says, you run all you want. I'm not going to help you. I looked at
really?
Him going, oh, you can cut this part out if you want, because this almost makes me want to swear. he ticked me off so bad. And it's like, what a wussy man. Any man that I know, if they saw a woman struggling, they'd fall over themselves trying to help.
What was it beneath him? Or
Yep.
Okay.
And he had his pretty shoes on. And then he said, oh, I'm a little chilly. And I'm thinking, I've been out here for 4 hours already, and you just got here and you're complaining about being cold. Dress better. Hello.
Right.
You know? I mean, sometimes I wonder, because some of the things that I see and hear are like, how did you dress yourself this morning?
Yeah.
It's just stuff that should be common sense, and it's not.
Well, and what I hate too is that, and I see this both as a minister and as a chaplain, that I get painted with the same brush whenever someone acts badly. And so if a minister goes out there and does something stupid, or a chaplain goes out there and does something stupid, they make all the rest of us look bad.
Yes.
And they maybe never should have been in this line of work in the first place. They have the schooling, but maybe they just don't have the wherewithal. They don't have the calling. They just don't have it. And they come out and they do damage. And yep. if you cross the wrong commander,
yep.
you could end up getting an entire chaplain's program shut down.
Yep.
Because
yep.
of one bad chaplain who never should have been out there in the first place.
Yep.
I've
seen it happen. I've seen it happen. And you can have 100 really good chaplains and you get a bad one in there, and it's like you might as well just set the barn on fire, because it's the end of it. It's awful. And you know, and you got to cut this part out.
Okay, I'll delete it. Five minutes and several war stories later.
You know, nothing goes unnoticed.
I try to tell people, it's always been true for all of human history that nothing truly stays hidden forever. If you do something good, people will eventually find out. If you do something bad, they'll find out even faster.
And that's exactly right.
Now we live in an age where we leave a digital fingerprint everywhere we go. And there's cameras with facial recognition technology.
Everywhere.
Everything has been tracked. You have never picked up an electronic device without leaving a record on a server somewhere.
Yep.
Why do you think you're going to get away with it?
Yep.
I mean, just stop. I mean, first of all, you should stop because God is watching. But so is Google. And so why do you think you're going to get away with
that
it? You present yourself as being this upright person, whether it's a minister or a politician or whoever.
Yep.
You really think no one's going to find out what you do in secret? It will get revealed. But
yes, it will.
Just not by us on this episode.
I mean, if they have a bad attitude about cops, sure, they're going to say bad things about cops. It happens all the time. I see it all the time. And yet I'm out with them and I listen to them interact with people they've stopped or they're, you know, doing their job. And I listen to them and I can't think of one time I've seen one that was not absolutely professional. They knew what they were talking about. They knew the law inside out. They knew exactly what they were charging for, why they were charging for it. Just they're smart, they're articulate, they have to constantly be training and learning new things and, you know, keeping up with the latest trends on, you know, how not to offend your mother-in-law. And just, you know, I see them in a whole different way than most people do, because I see them interacting with people, and I could think some people can be just total jerks. And, you know, you kind of get what you give.
Other than the Border Patrol stuff, I mean, do you got any big plans coming up or anything?
Actually, we do. This year is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the Oso mudslide, and a whole neighborhood was wiped out by a mudslide. 43 people were killed, and we were on scene on that for 16 days, and we made friends there and worked with some of the most amazing people from every branch of the service, whether it was police, fire, FEMA, Coast Guard, incident management teams. Everybody was there, and what an amazing group of people that were there to help They weren't there for their egos. They were there to help. And there was no self-glorifying anybody. Everybody was just there, and they had their nose to the grindstone. And I'm looking so forward to seeing some of these people who I haven't seen in 10 years. Yeah. And it's going to be fantastic. It was a huge scar in our state in Washington. And some wounds don't ever heal, but you learn to live with it. It still affects me. I could start crying right now just thinking about some of the things that we saw and heard and did there. It was hard, and it's the hardest job you'll ever love.
Ginger, thank you so much for being on the show. This was really good. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me. And even though we've never met in person, thanks for being a trusted friend. I appreciate that a lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope I never have to call you to come to Kansas City.
I pray you don't, but you know that I'm one call away.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Ginger's website can be found at soupladies.org. If you feel moved to help first responders, I hope that first you'll support Ginger's work, and second that you'll contact Ginger and get guidance on how to navigate the bureaucracy at the local, state, and federal levels. On the next episode of Hey Chaplain.
Literally 1 or 2 days after Ruby was born, he went into work because there was some disaster or something happened and they needed him. And I said to my dear mother, who's recently turned 82, I said, you know, Ricky hasn't worked it out yet, has he? And she said, no, what does he need to work out? And I said, you can only save the ones that you can save. I said, he can't save everyone. I said, he needs to be at home with Ruby. And so at the same time, Jared, as me opening and softening my heart, there was also this hardness, which does come with law enforcement, where you also get closed off knowing that I cannot save everyone. I just have to focus on those people that I can save. And that's how you change a broken system. That's how you change a society, is take one step at a time.
This show is supported by listeners who want to encourage cops, and they do that by buying me a $5 virtual coffee at buymeacoffee.com/heychaplain. You don't even have to do that. You already get the show for free. But thank you for making it possible for police officers to hear something positive. The views expressed here are the personal views of the hosts and our guests and do not necessarily represent the views of any law enforcement agency or its components. If you like this episode, please share it with a cop or someone who loves a cop. Thank you for listening to Hey Chaplain. And as always, pray for peace in our city.